Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July the 30th. This is our State Capitol Report, where we look each week at the biggest issues being proposed or being debated under the State Capitol Dome, issues that affect your pocketbook and potentially the way you live your life. And today we focus on the state budget. As a conference committee of legislative leaders started work last week on hammering out differences between the budgets passed by the state Senate and the state assembly. Two very different documents, one including a proposal for universal health care, one that doesn't, one that raised taxes on oil companies and cigarette makers, and one that didn't, one that fully funds the university system, one that doesn't. We'll find out from our state government reporter whether there are any areas that appear ready for compromise and what areas legislators are very far apart on. And we will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sean Johnson is our state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So the very first meeting of this conference committee last week, how'd things go?
It was, if you're into this stuff, it was kind of fun. You actually have the four decision makers from each party sitting at a table across from each other, bargaining this thing out. And the first meeting was really about giving speeches about why your side's good and why the other side's bad. So there wasn't a lot of movement, but it was interesting to see these decision makers finally get down to making decisions that matter instead of putting them off till later.
Yeah. So did they draw some lines in the sand or what?
It was really just a kind of a chance for them to trump up their own plan. They did kind of dig in their heels a bit for Senate Democrats. That meant talking about their health care plan, their universal health care plan. It would take a payroll tax to pay for it, a $15 billion payroll tax to pay for it. But in return, their big selling point is that it would give everybody health care as good as their state lawmaker. And so you had Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson making that case over and over again. She said that they weren't coming to the table with any lines in the sand, but this is important to them.
We're not coming to this table with any bottom lines, but I do want you to know that the Senate Democrats feel very strongly about providing a change to the way we deliver health care. We can no longer sustain this system. It's broken.
And I think Senator Russ Decker used the phrase, we're dead dog serious about this. So if the early stages of budget negotiations are, about bluffing or letting the other side know, what you think you're going to hold on, they really tried to sell it.
Yeah, but the Assembly Republicans are dead dog serious in opposing the universal health care plan, aren't they?
Yeah, I haven't heard them say anything good about it to this point. And really, their budget and Senate Democrats' budget are just mutually exclusive. They just can't have their centerpieces and, kind of be in the same room, so to speak, because Assembly Republicans took all the tax increases that were proposed by the governor and Senate Democrats out of their budget. So they have, compared to Senate Democrats, they have about $10 billion less to work with. So really, these two sides are just worlds apart. Yeah. And Assembly Majority Leader Jeff Fitzgerald made the case for, why people like their budget better, because he says that people have tax fatigue in Wisconsin.
Let's talk about the people you'll never hear from, the taxpayers. And they're angry out there right now. And guess what? A no-tax budget was the way to go. And I'm hearing it from my constituents, and we're hearing it from around the state, that is what people want.
So you're not going to hear from those angry taxpayers.
Democrats have done some polling, and they say that everybody says that health care is the issue right now. And so Republicans are basically saying that, look, the taxpayers are the silent majority here, and they're getting fed up. Also, Democrats have the advantage from a PR perspective, in that all these groups and all these interest groups that rely on funding in the state budget are going to be coming to the Capitol just in a steady stream over the next month or two, or however long it takes to pass a budget. And they're going to say, hey, Assembly Republicans, why do you want to cut our program or give our program less money than Assembly Democrats? kind of tugs at the heartstrings a bit.
Yeah, didn't the Assembly Republicans budge a little bit when it came to Badger Care, the health care program that Governor Doyle originally proposed?
Yeah, I mean, for a first meeting, it was kind of surprising to hear Republican Senator Scott Fitzgerald, who represents the minority Senate Republicans, come to the table and say that, look, the universal health care plan proposed by Democrats is no good, but the governor's Badger Care Plus plan is worth consideration at the table because it does what we're trying to do, which is to cover those people who are not coverable. And that is, the governor's plan is expanded to cover more low-income people instead of just revamping the system to cover everyone.
That's what Governor Doyle is focused on, and that's what I think we're focused on. If there is a place for government to step in and say, yes, there's a segment of the population that is uninsurable, probably because pre-existing conditions, then that's where government should step in. Don't destroy what we have. Don't pick apart what we have right now.
Now, the governor's Badger Care plan would have used a hike in the cigarette tax to pay for it. Are the Assembly Republicans saying that they might go for that cigarette tax increase?
In part, they didn't say anything about the cigarette tax yet, although you just hear hints that that might be a possibility. And, I mean, of the tax increases that were proposed in this budget, the cigarette tax is probably the least politically unpopular, I guess you'd say. There aren't, you know, everybody doesn't smoke, so it doesn't affect everybody, doesn't affect all voters. And, you know, people who have loved ones who've, you know, died or gotten sick from smoking-related illnesses can, you know, relate to the idea of spending more on prevention for smoking. So this is something that you might see in the budget.
Let's get some reaction from our listeners to that. Should the state hike the cigarette tax to help pay for Badger Care or health care programs? What about what you're hearing from the legislative leaders? Do you want this universal health care plan? Or do you agree with the Assembly Republicans who say we have too much tax fatigue in this state and we shouldn't have tax increases whatsoever? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July the 30th. This is our State Capitol Report. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in two guests with different perspectives on one budget issue, whether or not Wisconsin should tax oil companies and use that money to pay for transportation projects. We'll hear from a guest who is with the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association who says yes, and a guest from the Wisconsin Petroleum Council who says no. And we'll wonder what you think about that proposed oil tax coming up after 7:30. Sean Johnson is with us in this half hour telling us what the Budget Committee or the Budget Conference Committee did last week as the two sides, the Senate and the Assembly, are trying to hammer out a budget plan for the state of Wisconsin, some sort of a compromise between the democratically controlled Senate's version of the budget and the Republican-controlled Assembly's version of the budget. Sean, the Senate side included that oil tax and the Assembly side did not. Is that right?
Right. And the Senate side actually bumped it up a little bit or changed it compared to what the governor had. You know, they had it so that the smallest oil companies wouldn't pay, and that protects an oil company that's based here in Wisconsin. And the biggest companies would pay a little bit more, so they'd bring in even more revenue than the governor would want. And so to take that out, the Assembly basically had to find $247 million elsewhere, either through less spending or through raising money in other ways. And so they had a vehicle title fee that they included in their budget. You hear a lot about this no-tax budget from the Assembly, but there are fees in this budget, a vehicle title fee, which was not in the Senate's mm-hmm. version.
What is that, $10, $20, $30?
Sorry,
I didn't mean to throw you a curve, but anyway, there's a fee to...
It would raise it $10, mm-hmm. and so that would raise about $25 million for the state. It would increase fees for heavy trucks. You know, the vehicle registration fee would still be in there. That's something that's pretty much not disputed in this budget. So they find money in other ways. It's not, you know, they're not called taxes. They're fees, but they make it up in some ways.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little more about that proposed oil tax in our next half hour of the state capital report. Well, you mentioned that there seems to be a little bit of movement on health care, not so much the assembly agreeing to the universal health care plan proposed by Democrats, but possibly the Badger Care Plus plan. Any other areas of agreement or potential agreement?
No, not at all. And really, I mean, when they're talking about health care, I think you could see it as a move by Republicans to start trying to get this Democratic universal health care plan off the table, because while that's there, they really it is kind of hard for them to talk about anything else. So if Republicans believe that Democrats aren't going to, you know, hold true to this, they have to push them to take it off the table first. Democrats did try to bring up some areas that you might think would be easy places to agree. They said, let's just, as a sign of good faith, let's agree to these 200-plus items that the Joint Finance Committee agreed to unanimously. And the Joint Finance Committee is a committee that was going through the budget for, you know, several months and taking votes on each individual piece of it. Republicans said, you know, you don't spring this on the table because we don't know what all these cost. And so they weren't ready to agree to anything like this.
Now, the Joint Finance Committee unanimously passed all these things. Are all of those things in the Senate Democrats' version of the budget?
Yeah, these are 200-plus mm-hmm. things that, you know, eight Republican lawmakers and eight Democratic lawmakers agreed to. But then the Assembly Republican version took out. So basically said, we're not going to abide by those deals. We don't like what happened in joint finance. Here's our version.
Yeah.
And so Democrats' counter was kind of, okay, let's just focus on three unanimous things. Veterans tuition remission, funding for domestic abuse prevention grants, and then $500,000 to deal with infant mortality in Racine, which is the highest infant mortality rate in the state of Wisconsin. So I mean, this is one of those areas where it kind of, like I say, tugs at the heartstrings. And you had Senator Russ Decker saying that, you know, if anybody deserves government assistance, these families in Racine do.
We cannot leave this table without taking care of the neediest of the neediest. And Speaker Hipps, you kind of run down the role of government. There's no one else for these people to turn. There's no place for these babies to be taken care of.
So did they take care of that before they left the table?
No, they left the table pretty soon after Democrats started making these offers. And they're going to come back this Wednesday. And, you know, you would presume they would have to at least address that and just explain why they don't want to take these things up. For the speaker, Speaker Mike Hipps, you heard Senator Decker mention there. His main priority, he says, is to figure out how much money they're going to spend overall. That is, you know, we can't really build a budget until we know what the final dollar amount, he told Democrats, is.
I am adamant on the fact that we need to determine how much we're going to spend. There is an enormous gap here. Figure out how much we are going to spend, and then we can begin to build this budget. But it's clear that that is not something you wish to discuss.
Well, the Senate Democrat version was spending $66 billion, right?
Yeah, there's a $10 billion gap mm-hmm. there. So he's right. There's a huge difference, which, you know, kind of shows you they're not even close at this point. So the danger, one Democrat told the speaker, was that if you start out like that, you have, you know, four caucuses. They could all come with their own dollar amount and sort of back their budget into that to fit instead of setting the priorities and then finding the money. So we'll see if they take that approach or not. It could be a long summer either way.
Let me take a caller. Barbara in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning to you both. You know, I have a plan that would get our legislators to pass the health care issue very quickly. Let's take their health care away until they pass health care for the population. I think that they might really get on with it rather quickly. And then maybe we could, in order to save a lot of money, we could reduce the size of our legislature like they have in Minnesota. And frankly, I'm pretty angry that they want to take quality of life issues away from the population in this state. For example, taking money away from public radio and television, which makes our citizenry so much more educated. I have experienced this myself, and I would desperately hate for this to happen. And I'm pretty annoyed with this legislature currently. And another thing, I think that if they did the smoking thing, it would definitely decrease the number of young people who would engage in smoking. I lost my dad at a very young age from smoking. We all know how bad it is. And if we could do one thing to keep one person from smoking, I think this would be it, increasing the tax. And I favor that greatly.
And Barbara, thank you very much for the call. Lots of different issues there. So there's one vote for hiking the cigarette tax. Sean, that might very well happen or not. What do you have a prediction on that?
Yeah, I still haven't heard any of the Republican leaders actually come out and endorse that plan. But, you know, if they want Democrats to give on some stuff, they're going to have to give as well. And, you know, that may mean accepting some sort of taxes. And the legislature has been comfortable with, you know, increasing the cigarette tax in the past. Whether or not they do it to the level that Governor Jim Doyle wants, you know, we'll see. He wants to increase it $1.25 per pack of cigarettes to get the effect that Barbara mentioned there, that it would keep young people from smoking. I think he was actually touting a new study that would, you know, that backs that up last week, that if you have a sharp increase in the price of cigarettes, you're going to have young people just decide not to start in the first place because it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, we only have a couple of minutes or so before our news break. We've talked about the proposed cuts to public broadcasting before, so maybe we'll leave that one and focus in more on another day on that. The sentiment, though, that Barbara has that, you know, that maybe the legislature should lose its health care or be cut back to part-time because she's frustrated with all of this. Any thoughts on whether Barbara's not alone there?
Well, you know, it's a interesting point. Another way to get the budget done would be, you could say, turn off the air conditioning or make them stop campaign fundraising during the budget's another theory. They'd probably get it done quicker. Mm-hmm. But I think her comments illustrate why Democrats have, you know, even if this doesn't pass, they have a pretty good sales pitch because they can say, we want to give you health care as good as your state lawmaker. What's a lawmaker to say to that? I mean, they Republicans certainly have made cases against the health care plan, but on that one, it's not easy to, you know, refute.
One more minute before our news break. So the conference committee meets again this week to continue on.
Yeah, and we'll see if there's any movement at all. If both sides dig in their heels, it could be many months. This will be August 1st, which is when the governor said he wanted the budget done by.
That's not going to happen.
No way.
And also this week, it says here that Justice Annette Ziegler is going to be sworn in.
Yeah, she's also on August 1st, and it'll be at a circuit court. I guess not a huge ceremony. And she, of course, is being sworn in at a time when she's still has a complaint against her before the Judicial Commission for ruling on cases in which the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says she had a conflict of interest.
We'll get an update on that next week at the State Capitol Report. Thanks very much, Sean, for
Thanks,
being
Joy.
Here. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 7:36 on this Monday morning, July the 30th, and we'll focus in on this half hour on one area of the state budget where there is disagreement between the state Senate and the state assembly, that being the oil tax proposed by Governor Doyle and included in the state Senate's version of the budget but left out of the state assembly's. We will talk with two guests for this segment of the program, this segment of the State Capitol Report, one who favors the oil tax and one who opposes it, and we will welcome your questions for both of them. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890. 1-800-290-263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you want this tax on big oil companies, and do you want to use that money for transportation projects, or are you concerned that a tax like that would be passed on to you? We welcome your questions and comments. We welcome in first Patrick Goss, who is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I'm sorry, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right. Why do you, you would like to see this oil tax?
Yeah, Joy, last year, a bipartisan committee of the legislature identified $700 million in unmet needs in all modes of transportation across Wisconsin. And, you know, the governor put forward a proposal, and the Senate forwarded that on to the Assembly to start meeting those needs, and that's why we're fighting for this.
Yeah, because it can't, though, those needs can't be funded any other way?
Well, you know, the Assembly version, as your reporter did allude to, increased fees in some other areas. So the Assembly certainly did, you know, their part in also recognizing those unfunded needs. But, you know, we're open to other suggestions. But to date, you know, other than the Assembly version of the budget, you know, none of the other groups have offered anything.
Yeah, it does say here, though, that you're gonna you will lobby or fight for the increases of the oil tax.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about the fear that the oil tax would just be passed on to the consumer?
Well, the way the governor has structured this in his version of the budget, it would prohibit the oil companies from passing the fee on to motorists and impose fines on the oil companies if they did that. And our legal experts have looked at it, and, you know, with some modifications to what the Senate has done, you know, we're confident that this would stand up in court.
Yeah. Why not just raise the gas tax?
Well, we'd be open to that, certainly. You know, Wisconsin does have one of the highest gas taxes in the country, even though, actually, when you compare our overall cost to drive to other Midwest states, we are the lowest in the Midwest. So certainly we'd be open to any suggestions and, you know, thoughts that people would have to meet those needs that aren't being met right now.
Yeah, so looks like, in a way, you are just provide the funding needed for these transportation projects, and you're not going to object to any way that's done.
Well, and it's not just, you know, projects involving road construction. There's needs in transit that aren't being met right now. There's needs in local government funding that's not being met as well.
What kind of, what are these needs?
Well, I mean, it's dollars. I mean, you know, there's you look at Milwaukee County as an example. You know, they're proposing cutting, I believe, 13 routes that serve, you know, a broad array of citizens in that area. I know the Madison Metro is also, you know, struggling somewhat with their dollars. And, you know, at the local level, I mean, I think if you drive any urbanized area right now, the condition of our infrastructure is, you know, not that great, and we need to be investing more dollars to make sure that that infrastructure is serving the needs of the people.
Yeah. The $700 million in unmet needs, though, range from everything from fixing potholes to major highway construction?
To unmet transit needs, to unmet local aid needs, the whole gamut.
Yeah. And what about those who say, well, maybe there just needs to be prioritization, and we're not going to be able to do everything this year or next year, that there just needs to be prioritization?
Well, I think that's going on right now, but a good evidence of that prioritization is Highway 51 from DeForest down to Madison, that on the list of priorities, you know, is out several years, I think almost 10 years right now, and in the legislature they're saying, no, this needs to be funded and done now. Well, if we do that project, whose project that, you know, the DOT has identified is a higher priority gets pushed back. So, you know, they do prioritize, and they are trying to live within their means, but certainly, you know, the investment in infrastructure helps drive the economy and can help in different areas of the budget.
Yeah. We're talking with Patrick Goss, who is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, who favors the oil tax that was proposed by Governor Doyle and put in the Senate's version of the state budget. It would tax big oil companies per barrel and would bring in some $114 million in its first year to help pay for transportation needs. Do you want to see this tax on oil companies or not? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Just have a few more minutes with Patrick Goss, and then we'll be welcoming in a guest from a different perspective. I'm a little bit surprised that We aren't seeing any phone call activity on this one. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Patrick Goss, do you think that the oil companies are an easy target to try to get this kind of money from the big bad oil companies?
Well, I think the question certainly, the way they've been portrayed nationally, yeah, they're an easy target. But I think the more important question is they benefit by having a sound transportation infrastructure in Wisconsin because it enables people to take those trips, you know, travel, use the infrastructure and ultimately use their product. So they are benefiting. And really, most of them don't pay any taxes as it currently stands in Wisconsin. So we're just asking them to pay their fair share to help ensure that we have a sound transportation system.
Yeah, and even though the legislation as proposed says the oil company cannot pass this on to the consumer, how are we going to know?
Well, that is a good question. The way the governor's proposed that, it would establish some auditors at the state level that would monitor this and keep an eye on it. And part of it is going to have to be trust, which, you know, people probably are smiling right now about trust in the oil companies. But I think between the way the state system would be set up, we could make this work and not have it passed on to the consumers.
Yeah. What kinds of hopes or lack of them do you have that this sort of tax will be put in the final version of the budget?
Well, put it this way, the governor introduced this, I believe, in February. We're now sitting here in July, almost August, and it's still on the table. So clearly it's on the table because it is, I think, a viable, reasonable source of revenue to meet those $700 million or begin meeting them of unmet needs. And as I said, it's still there. So, I think there's a good chance that this will be part of the solution at the end of the day. And who knows, maybe the oil companies and some of the other groups will come up with an alternative proposal that we can find a bipartisan agreement and start moving forward.
Let's take a couple of calls. John in New London, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Glad to talk to you this morning. It just seems to me every time we add another layer of bureaucracy, it just adds to the cost. I mean, what a joke. It's just going to raise the price, not lower it. Anytime you make another program, you put another dictate on another class of business, it's going to go nowhere.
John, it adds to the cost. This money would be used for transportation projects.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to be free? I mean, the monitoring of this will eat up whatever money they get from this program, just like all of it does. Every time we add another audit, we add another bureaucracy. It's a joke.
Reaction to that, Patrick Goss?
Well, I don't think four new state auditors is going to, eat up, as you identified, Joy, $114 million in new revenue. Certainly, that's something we're going to have to watch as I think the legislature and the governor watches with every program, every biennial budget process about the cost of, running state government and providing services to the citizens.
Yeah. Dan in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Joy. I guess if people who benefit from the roads should pay the tax, would your guests support taxes on car battery manufacturers, tire manufacturers, and automotive companies? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
Well, I think as we go forward here, Wisconsin has one of the narrowest funding sources for meeting transportation needs. And again, whether you're talking roads, whether you're talking transit, in that we rely on the gas tax and on the registration fee for about 93% of our funding here in the state. We're open to all types of, revenue ideas and suggestions you know, and putting that out in the public and seeing what the public would support to make sure that we have roads and have transit systems that everyone can use.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Patrick Goss, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, in favor of the oil tax, the tax on oil companies that would help fund transportation needs in Wisconsin. We'll get a different viewpoint after the weather break. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us. Hope you stay tuned. It's 12 minutes now before 8 o'clock on this Monday, July the 30th. After 8 o'clock, we're going to be welcoming in Kevin McKinley. He is the host of Kevin McKinley on Your Money, heard on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll talk about your personal finances and whether or not we should be concerned over the fits that the stock market is going through right now. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Your questions about your personal finances coming up. We're talking right now about the oil tax and whether or not Wisconsin should tax oil companies to raise money to pay for transportation needs. The governor has proposed that as a tax, about $1.50 per barrel of oil sold in Wisconsin. It was included in the Senate's version of the state budget, but not the Assembly's. Our guest for the rest of this segment, Aaron Roth, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Petroleum Council, who says an oil tax like this would not be a good idea. Good morning. Oops, wait a minute.
Hey, Joe.
There you go.
Yeah, hi, Joy.
So, thanks for being with us. Why not tax big oil companies, Aaron Roth, and pay for these transportation needs?
Well, as far back as John D. Rockefeller, politicians love to go after what they deem to be big oil. But here in Wisconsin, of the over 3,200 service and convenience stores in the state, none of them are owned by the big five major oil companies. So they're owned by mom and pop and local business people. What the legislature has done, the Senate and the governor, has embarked on an experiment on this very regressive tax, because it goes up as the price of gas goes up. Today it's about 7 cents a gallon, equivalent to a 7 cent a gallon gas tax. So those are low income, you know, and fixed incomes will pay more based upon their income as they drive more. So we just think that it's bad tax policy. You know, my good friend Pat Goss, we work together on a lot of issues on transportation. We just disagree on this one.
Yeah, well, you're saying that this would be the equivalent of 7 cents a gallon like a gas tax, but the governor says this cannot be passed on to the consumer like that.
Well, Joy, you know, Wood Communications did a statewide poll recently. There have been two polls. 82% of the public believes that they're going to pay more at the pump if this thing passes. So who are we fooling here?
Yeah, well, then, but it would actually be called illegal to do this, and there'd be auditors making sure that it's not happening.
Well, you know, out of a barrel of oil, there are so many other products made from petroleum, just not gasoline and diesel fuel. Asphalt, jet fuel, home heating oil, other products, plastics. So we would not, as companies, illegally violate the law. However, they would look for legal ways, you know, either by raising prices on other products higher in Wisconsin, or the real threat is shipping more product out of state rather than in state, because they wouldn't have to pay this 7 cent tariff.
Let's take a couple of calls for you. Mike in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to make the point that these so-called unmet needs that the first guest reported, if they would just go to transit and bicycle paths and things like that, I'd be for the petroleum tax. But they're just always for more roads and expanded roads.
Yeah, Mike, you know, he did say, though, that this was metro, mass transit and other things. It wasn't just for road projects. So
that's just a drop in the bucket, what they pay for transit. That's just a face that they don't even meet.
Yeah. Aaron Roth, how do we pay for these unmet transportation needs if it's not like this, a tax on oil companies?
Well, I think we can start with the Assembly Republican transportation budget. We feel that's a very responsible base to start from. They've provided $18 million more dollars than even the governor's budget. So if the pot needs to be sweetened somehow, we can take a look at that. And, you know, we're open to a nominal gas tax increase because we do need good highways and good transit systems. In terms of projects, certainly, you know, the legislature is trying to prioritize, you know, the needs based upon the Senate budget, the governor's budget, and the Assembly budget, and somewhere they'll hopefully get off this regressive tax and find a better way to fund transportation.
Yeah. And so did I hear that correctly, that the Petroleum Council would be in favor of a nominal gas tax increase, meaning that just call it a gas tax, do it as a gas tax, don't tax big oil companies?
Well, this gross receipts tax, you know, we got rid of indexing, which the legislature should have never done, and that's why we're here today with this fight. And, you know, one person said, well, this is gas tax indexing on steroids. Mm. It started at 5 cents a gallon. Prices have escalated somewhat, so now it's 7 cents. People predict that someday we may see $4 a gallon gasoline, so that then it becomes 9 cents. 82% of the public believe they're going to pay it, even if this provision stays. And again, there's no other state in the country that has this law. Mm-hmm. So we're really going down a slippery slope. And the two states that did try it with the anti-pass through the courts threw it out. So I think there's some precedent there in terms of constitutionality.
Mm-hmm. Bob in Appleton is with us. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd just like to remind everybody of the borrowing that our Governor Jim Doyle borrowed $400 million from the transportation budget once. Let's increase the money that we put into that transportation budget. Let's see how much more Governor Jim Doyle can borrow from that and not use it as to what it's intended for. Let's pay that $400 million back, and then let's start talking about a program that we can use to develop our transportation here in the state. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Did you have a comment on that, Aaron?
Couldn't have said it better. You know, with this oil tax, as gas prices increase and the tax increases, we already have a precedent that the fund has been raided numerous times. Certainly groups like WEAC and others are looking at this tax and salivating because the raids will just continue more than they have in the past. But we certainly support what the caller just said.
Yeah. So, I mean, you pointed out that none of the gas stations owned in Wisconsin are owned by the big oil companies. They're mainly mom and pop places. How would this oil tax hurt them?
Well, Senator Jelk tried to tier the tax. He increased, actually, the tax for big oil from 2.5% to 3% and tried to tier the tax to help those smaller entities. But there are something like 165 fuel suppliers in the state. You know, many of those are just local business people who haul product from out of state and bring it into the state, and they would be affected by this tax. So it's we call it the tax of unintended consequences. It hits a number of small Wisconsin businesses, and we just think it's bad tax policy.
Bob in Rhinelander, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like the gentleman to explain something to me. A little while ago, he was saying how he was all concerned that this tax on the oil company would be passed on to the consumer, yet a little while ago, he said that he'd be in favor of a gas tax. I mean, come on, what's this guy talking about?
Is there you don't really care that it's being passed on to the consumer if you support a gas tax, Aaron Roth? Aaron Roth, are you there?
Yes.
Oh,
hello?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This bill has an anti-pass-through provision that would put oil companies in jail if the state thinks that they're not trying to pass it on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Please continue.
No. It has an anti-pass-through provision that says we can't pass it on and we can go to jail if
if the state and the governor think we're trying to pass it on. Where, you know, a gas tax, at least people know what it is, and it's really a user fee. This is, again, a very regressive type of tax, because as the price goes up, the tax goes up. And, again, low and moderate income families pay more then.
We will leave it there. I asked my previous guest to predict whether or not this was going to end up in the budget or not. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, most people think it's ridiculous when I talk to them, and they don't believe that it has a chance. But I say 50-50 at this point.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Aaron Roth, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Petroleum Council. We also heard from Patrick Goss, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, giving us two different viewpoints on whether Wisconsin should tax big oil companies on each barrel of oil sold in Wisconsin and use that money to pay for transportation needs. And thanks to Sean Johnson, who was our guest in the first part of this State Capitol Report. Thanks to Leo Duran and Christina Taylor for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.